Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line Mr. Jack Thompson. We're going to be talking about the video games and the training that our children are getting that, of course, is introducing them into violence. Mr. Thompson, thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your effort and your concern?
Well, in 1989, I secured the first decency fines as the complainant, as a citizen, ever levied by the Federal Communications Commission. It's interesting to me, anyway, personally, that 15 years later, I was the guy who got Howard Stern in the last month fined by the FCC, his Clear Channel broadcasts, and him kicked off Clear Channel. So I've been an abiding activist against the broadcast on the public airwaves of indecent material, sexual in nature or otherwise inappropriate. In the intervening years, I was amicus curiae, that is, friend of the court, in the federal obscenity trial regarding whether or not Two Live Crew's album As Nasty As They Wanna Be was obscene, and that resulted in the first verdict in history that a sound recording was obscene. And 2 years after that, in 1992, which is related to the video game issue, Ollie North asked me to represent his Freedom Alliance at the Time Warner shareholders meeting, and the issue of the day then was whether or not Time Warner's rapper Ice-T should be allowed to distribute worldwide the song Cop Killer, which was advocating the killing of police. And Charlton Heston and I addressed that shareholders meeting, and thankfully, Beverly Sills, the great opera star who was on the Time Warner board, was persuaded by our arguments and carried the day within that board meeting afterwards, persuading Time Warner to take all Cop Killer albums off store shelves worldwide. Then going much further forward, in 1999, I was asked by the parents of the three girls shot and killed in the Paducah school shootings to represent them along with their Kentucky counsel in a lawsuit brought against the video game industry as well as the makers of other violent material that clearly influenced Michael Carneal at the age of 14 to kill them, and the video games in particular trained him and gave him certain killing techniques that he would not have had, and but for those techniques would not have been able to kill all three girls and wounded five others, paralyzing another. Day after we filed that federal lawsuit, and I'll stop with this example, I went on the Today Show and predicted that other boys in other American high schools would go on similar shooting rampages. 8 days later, Columbine happened, and Klebold and Harris had trained on the very same video game that Michael Carneal had trained on.
And I think it's so important people understand that these video games are to remove all inhibition to killing. And the people who make these have to know what they're doing. This is not simply fun. This is training people to do away with the inhibitions we have to taking the life of others. We'll be right back here in just a couple of moments here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Jack Thompson, and he is very concerned about obscenity on the airwaves, but one of the things he is really concerned about is the violence in the video games that our children are using, and parents are allowing them to use these, these programs are designed to teach them to kill, to do away with the inhibition of taking human life. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it's very fair. And there's something about video games that makes them far more dangerous than other violent-themed entertainment, and that is that they are interactive in nature. You actually become a protagonist in the killing, and you enter into the killing in a way that you do not if you're sitting there passively watching, for example, a movie. This is why our Department of Defense created the Institute for Creative Technologies. It's in a standalone building on the University of Southern California campus. You can actually Google that and find it. And what our DOD does with our taxpayer dollars is pay software programmers who are good at what they do within the video game industry. They create killing simulators for our soldiers to use, new recruits, to primarily suppress their inhibition to kill. The industry then is told by the DOD, thank you very much, you've done a good job, the DOD tells them, and now you are free, video game industry, now that we, the taxpayers, have paid for your research and development of these games, you are free to turn around and sell them as civilian games to teenagers. Now, the question that the video game industry can't answer other than in the affirmative is, if these suppress the inhibition to kill, these games in soldiers, then why would they not suppress the inhibition to kill in teenage civilians?
But the question is, why would our government subsidize the production of those and then allow them to be used? If they put out the money with our tax dollars to produce them, they know very well what it's going to be. What people don't understand is when we send people in the military, we're training to kill and to destroy and to be indifferent to human life. And then we wonder why we have soldiers treating prisoners the way we do. When we take away the abyssins, take away this belief in the dignity of human life, and then we subsidize that and we turn it over to our teenagers, our government is subsidizing the destruction of the inhibition of our children, aren't they?
Well, they are. And thing that concerns me about what's happened in Iraq most recently with the horrible treatment of the Iraqi prisoners.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to bring out the stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and Mr. Thompson, Zach Thompson, is pointing out that the government has actually hired a number of animators, computer animators, to put together these interactive video games. And interactive video games, are much more impact on the psyche. And these were to be used to destroy the inhibitions of our military so that they would be willing to kill. They saw nothing wrong with that. But then what they did is, after they had produced these videos, they allowed it to be circulated to our children. And as Mr. Thompson points out, if these are designed to remove the inhibitions of 18 and 19-year-old boys who are going off to kill in other countries, and we give them to our teenagers, why should we be surprised if we remove their inhibitions to kill as well? What are we doing to our children?
Doctor, let me give you a for instance, if I may, in that regard.
You go right ahead.
And thank you for having me on your show. This is a tremendous opportunity to talk about this with your audience. On October 10th of 2002, a year and a half ago, I was on the Today Show, I think for the fifth of what have been now seven times, all on this issue of video game-inspired violence. And Matt Lauer asked me, who do you think the Beltway sniper is? And at that point, Washington, D.C. was being terrorized in every sense of the word by the Beltway sniper, as he was called at the time. And I said, well, Matt, I believe the tarot card, which people may recall was found with the I Am God inscription on it, I said, I believe that gives us a clue. That is a video gamer mantra. It is a proclamation you hear in video game or read in video game chat rooms on the internet. And indeed, you can switch a video game to what's called God mode, in which you become a sniper and your targets in the game, in the virtual reality, can't fire back. So I said, I make this prediction that the trigger man is probably a teenage boy trained on a video game, switched to God mode, which has suppressed his inhibition to kill. 2 weeks later, Muhammad and Malvo were identified and apprehended. 2 months later, Stone Phillips on Dateline NBC said the following. Muhammad, satisfied that Malvo was able to kill based upon the training he gave him on the rifle range, was yet unconvinced that Malvo was willing to kill. So he forced Malvo to play a Microsoft Xbox game, Halo, switched to God mode to suppress his inhibition to kill, and it worked, close quote. The prosecutor in that case, Robert Horan of Fairfax County, when asked by the defense team, is there any exculpatory evidence that would indicate that Malvo was forced to play a video game, the prosecutor was forced to turn over the evidence, including witnesses who said that Malvo had in fact used that game, that specific game, to suppress Malvo's or try to suppress Malvo's inhibition to kill. And indeed, that was part of the indoctrination and control defense that Malvo interposed at his trial to show the control of Muhammad of him. Basically a Patty Hearst defense, which was, I would argue, was successful in the sense that it saved Malvo, at least all of the defense did, from the death penalty. But one of the reasons why Muhammad knew to use that technique and knew to use that specific game is that the United States military had used that specific sniper game at the sniper base at which Muhammad had spent a significant amount of time, and so he knew of the DOD's use of that game, and he used it on Malvo.
And, of course, why should we be surprised if we train people to kill that they overseas, that it would come home here and kill again? And they might see nothing wrong with killing Americans. They've been trained that killing is all right, and we have seared their very souls. This is what I'm so concerned about. War is a terrible, terrible thing, and to train people to kill and then allow them to come back into society is just unfathomable.
Well,
and to do it with our tax money, that's what's even worse.
Well, that's right, but never put it past a government in any form to do the things that it shouldn't be doing. And when it does all of these nonsensical things, which in this instance happens to be dangerous, government then tends to neglect the duties that it's instituted by men to do. Others have made that point far more eloquently, but a government that would spend millions of dollars on video games is a government that probably isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Well, what do you suggest? Because you're on the front lines of this battle, and you're trying to do something about it, and I fear for our children who are being indoctrinated with government-financed violence.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what I've done, which anybody can do, and anyone listening to me can tell I'm not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer. But the beauty of the First Amendment, which the pornographers and the ACLU only quote a portion of, is that it contains the following phrase: the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances shall not be abridged. And therefore, if there is pending fellow citizens in your communities or in your state legislature a bill, such as the one that we got passed in the state of Washington last April, that prohibits the sale of these violent video games that are rated for adults and yet are heavily marketed to children, then encourage your legislators to go ahead and enact that law. The real danger here, as pernicious as these games are in the hands of adults who play them, is their play in the hands of minors, because in adolescents. The reason is, and brain scan studies have come out of Harvard, Kansas State, Indiana University, and so forth, that show that adolescents, by virtue of the different maturation level of their brains, the actual structural difference of their brains from those of adults, actually process these images and interactively kill people in a different part of the brain than adults. Adults process these games in the forebrain, where reasoning and differentiation between reality and fantasy occur. Adolescents, on the other hand, actually process these games and also trigger the responses within the games in the amygdala, which is in the midbrain, which is the seat of emotions of the brain, and the hindbrain. And if you Harvard found that if you triggered the emotions that a child feels while processing these images, then he will mimic the behaviors that are associated with those images. So you can literally give a child an itchy trigger finger, to use a simile, or to use a metaphor, to act out in a violent trigger shooting way if he finds himself in a setting in which he feels anger or fear or some other emotion that he would feel during the game. And therefore, how ironic it is that this summer a major Hollywood studio is going to re-release The Manchurian Candidate, a great movie starring Frank Sinatra and Angela Lansbury back in the 60s, now starring Denzel Washington in Frank Sinatra's role, in which the military trains an individual to kill with mind control techniques. And I must tell you, literally, we have thousands of mini Manchurian candidates who are teenagers walking around in America who are ready, willing, and trained to kill. It's just it's a miracle, literally, that more of them haven't gotten through the grid, the law enforcement grid, that we have at least had some reason to know that we should have put up after Columbine.
Well, of course, what we should have be able to do is every local community should be able to outlaw these games, and that would not mean that kids couldn't go to another state and buy them, but if they know they're outlawed, why parents would hopefully object to them. The average parent doesn't understand their impact. But at one time, before the Supreme Court was taken over by wicked people, why, every community could regulate pornography, they could regulate books, they could regulate whatever the general population felt was dangerous. And then we got to this idea, oh no, we've got to have total freedom. Well, total freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's law. And once we take away from the local community the ability to regulate some of these terrible things that are happening, should we be surprised at what the end result is? Because you can't have total freedom, as our kids are being taught in school today. There are no right, there is no wrong, there is no Ten Commandments, there is no God. You determine what's right and wrong. And then we should be surprised when sometimes they decide to do the wrong thing?
Well, no, we shouldn't be. And in fact, computer people have the saying, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into a kid's brain, he's going to spit it out in his activities. God's word makes it clear that what we fill our hearts up with, we will then become. Edmund Burke pointed out that the purpose of government is to point man towards God. And therefore, I'm not a libertarian. And I'm a recovering libertarian. I believe, and I came out of law school thinking there was nothing you could do about inappropriate entertainment for kids, nor should you. But I've read the laws, I've read the Constitution more carefully than I was required to in law school, and I know full well now that states, localities, and the federal government have the power, and they have the constitutional approval to go ahead and protect children as a class of individuals from this type of harmful material. We regulate their kids' access to tobacco, to alcohol, to firearms, and yet somehow the ACLU and others have convinced us, many of us, that somehow we can't keep adult-rated harmful products such as murder simulators, which is exactly what video games are. They're training devices on how to train kids to kill out of the hands of children. It's utter constitutional nonsense, and people need to reclaim the right to raise their children in the way that they want to, not raised by multinational, huge corporations that are training our kids to kill one another and to kill us.
And not only that, but they're, of course, done with taxpayer money. That's what's so incredible about it. And the question is, are enough people out there who have the courage to get involved in the battle? Are you just going to stand aside as things get worse and worse and worse? We're going to be back in just a moment here with Mr. Jack Thompson, who's a leader in this field trying to get the word out. And I hope you'll join him in this effort. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. To understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation.
His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinix is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and we simply want to mention that we do carry Miracle 2 soap products. Give us a call at 1-800-5. Well, that's Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Jack Thompson. He's a lawyer, and he's concerned about the impact of these violent video games on children. And is there any organization or group across America that's trying to get legislation passed at the state level to solve this problem and deal with it?
You know, there's not really an organization, Doctor. There are a lot of individuals that I think are very well informed, who are resources to legislators who are working on this. One such legislator is Dr. Joseph Baca, a Democrat from California, who is the chief author and sponsor of a federal bill that would prohibit at the national level the distribution of these games to children. Assemblyman Yee from the, I believe, San Francisco area in California, largest state in the union, is a child psychologist who knows firsthand the danger of these games, and he's introduced a bill into the California legislature to do the same thing. So there are some very active efforts in the various state legislatures to do these things. My all-time hero on this issue is an individual that some of your listeners may be aware of by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Dave Grossman is a former Army Ranger, a professor at West Point, and trained in the psychology of war, and he's written two terrific books, another one about to come out. First one was called On Killing, which is a look at the psychological cost of killing in war and in other settings. And then he wrote a follow-up book after Columbine called Stop Teaching Our Kids to Kill. He's testified before Congress on about seven occasions. I believe he is really the go-to guy when it comes to explaining why video games are so dangerous and so suppressive of the inhibition to kill. I've appeared on 60 Minutes with him. I've addressed the American Bar Association twice with him, and anything I know I owe to him. And he was in the triage units at Jonesboro, Arkansas, because he lives there, dealing with the shootings and killings by two young boys in Jonesboro, Arkansas, back in, I believe, 1998. So Dave Grossman, people can go to his website at www.killology.org. It's a term he coined as to the study of killing. And so Grossman, that website is a tremendous clearinghouse of information on this very subject, and I commend it to you, and you can get a hold of him by emailing him at that website. He spends about 300 days a year training police departments to identify, among other things, the linkage between certain violent entertainment products and the killings that they are now seeing on the streets, in which kids and others are copycatting these products. And I can give you one example, Doctor. In January of 2003, Oakland, California police apprehended a gang of young people called the Nutcases. And you can go to the Oakland Tribune and read about all this. These guys were doing carjackings, robberies, killings, and it turns out the police found that they were actually training on the most violent video game in the history of the world, and unfortunately the most successful, the Grand Theft Auto games, in which you kill police officers, you have sex with prostitutes, and then kill them to get your money back and win the game faster. But given the name Grand Theft Auto, you can see that one of the primary themes of the game is to steal cars. These kids were actually training on that game as a simulator on how to do carjackings and developing scenarios on how to do so. And the one quotation that comes out of that the police provided the media will curl your toes. One perpetrator in custody said, quote, "We played the game by day and we lived the game by night."
And I think that people don't understand that this becomes reality.
Yes.
The child is incapable of differentiating it, and he doesn't understand the consequences because the people always come back again when they play the game the next time.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I've been criticized, and I guess it's a reasonable criticism to suggest that by my saying, as you've just said there, that it can cloud the thinking of a child into thinking reality is fantasy, that you're somehow saying the child shouldn't be responsible for what he does. But let me quote one of the mothers in Paducah. There's plenty of blame to go around, and there is blame and blood on the hands of corporate executives in major entertainment companies who are marketing these games to kids and making these killings more likely. I think it's time we start holding them accountable.
Amen to that. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or at 464-8295. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in South
Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hi, this is Doc. Dr. Tony Thierry, are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that we do carry Miracle 2 soap products here, and we can't make any medical claims for them. But we can tell you an awful lot of people who use these products just tell us wonderful stories about how it's helped them, whether it be the rashes, or itching skin, or acne, or things of that sort. So if you'd like to try them, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. There's a soap. There is a moisturizing soap, which I use. There is a gel. There's a lotion. There's a neutralizing solution. And at least many people who utilize that tell us it seems to help their heartburn. Other people tell us it seems to help their lower intestinal tract. All we can say is we hope that if you try them, that you'll be as helpful, as happy with these products as so many of our users are. People try them. It's amazing how often they come back and order more. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's Miracle 2. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Jack Thompson. His website is stopkill.com. Is that it?
Yes, it's a rather rudimentary website that I've simply put up so that people can see some of the information that gives rise to these concerns, and also there's an email link there where people can get a hold of me.
All right. Now, is there any effort to try to hold these corporations that are putting out this vile video games, hold them responsible for their result? Because, you know, the tobacco producers really weren't concerned until they were held responsible for the damage to the health that they had done. We're really attacking the very minds of the children, and they know what the outcome of the use of these violent video games is going to be.
Well, they do. Actually, you're talking to the guy who's tried to do that. I indicated that in Paducah we filed a lawsuit trying to hold accountable the sale of these adult-rated video games to Michael Carneal. And let me say that again. The games are rated as inappropriate for minors, and yet the games are marketed aggressively to children. And in fact, after the Columbine tragedy, President Clinton ordered the Federal Trade Commission to study the extent to which adult-rated entertainment is marketed to children. They found that major movie studios were actually going to campfire girl meetings and showing them trailers for R-rated movies that no one can see under the age of 17, to see what trailers would entice those 13, 14-year-old girls to go see those movies. Video games, adult-rated games, it was found by the Federal Trade Commission, were being advertised in comic books and on and on. And therefore, one of the things that come out of the Federal Trade Commission and Columbine was an understanding, at least for parents who want to know, and they can go to FTC.gov and read the report. Just put in video games, and they'll see that there's the industry says one thing and does another. They rate their games as inappropriate for children, and yet they market the dickens out of them, to kids. And in fact, then the adult rating becomes actually a sales tool to entice kids to have these games that, as I said earlier, we know are processed in a kid's brain in a different way and in a different location they are in adult brains. But so we try to hold accountable the video game industry for the marketing of a dangerous product that they knew to be dangerous to children. And the federal court, a First Amendment absolutist judge by the name of Judge Johnstone, found that we hadn't even alleged a plausible theory, didn't allow us to do discovery, which if we had done, we would have found the smoking gun documents that we know are there and that show the marketing of adult games to kids, and that also indicate that the industry knows what the harmfulness is of the games to, in the hands of kids. One of these suits will get through the grid, and then it's Katie bar the door as to the damage that can be done to this video game industry that should be done, and it should be brought lower than the tobacco industry was with similar litigation, which the industry in that instance knew they were marketing a harmful product to not only adults but also to children. So it's simply a matter of time, and sadly, I'll predict it'll take another Columbine in which the perpetrators are linked to video games for maybe the people to finally get it.
Well, now, what about the Malvo case? What about some of the relatives of the people who were killed? I would think that they would have a legitimate suit along this line.
Well,
you know, if Malvo was actually trained on this program.
Well, you know, I made an effort in that regard, not for me to get the case, but to simply inform the victims' families that there was a linkage to the game. And here's what I ran into. I ran into the understandable, but I think incorrect conclusion that to say that is to say that somehow Malvo wasn't responsible for what he did. And that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, for example, if you're a gun manufacturer and you sell, or let's say a gun retailer, and you sell to a minor a gun that you can't legally sell to them or that you know is dangerous in the hands of that individual, then to hold that entity accountable, at least in civil damages, money damages for that recklessness, is not to say that the shooter isn't responsible for what he or she does. So I never got the chance to meet with these victims' families. People kept me from doing that. I simply dearly wanted to share with them my concerns and the role that the game, that particular game, played in the life of Malvo that helped take their loved ones from them. But people prevented me from doing that, I guess, because they thought I was out to say that Malvo wasn't responsible for what he did. I think it's an understandable mindset, but sometimes grief and anger cloud out reasoning, as we all know, and so I wasn't able to make that presentation to them.
Well, but the thing is that somebody has to do something, and at least I think what you're trying to do is the one thing that these major corporations would be concerned about, and that would be the loss of money.
And exactly. That's where their treasure is, and that's where their hearts are, and they worship at the altar of mammon. You take the money away from them, all of a sudden their shareholders who want to have the assets of their companies protected might understand they should stop marketing the games to at least to children.
What about getting state legislation through? You mentioned you did it in Washington.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get it through another state? You mentioned that there's a legislation being introduced here in California.
Yes.
And at the national level, although I'm really very much against the national level, but I know it's a lot easier to get one law passed in Washington, D.C., but I don't want to violate the Constitution just in the name of doing something expedient. Every state legislature in this country should be willing to take a stand on this.
Well, they should, and as I say, you know, sometimes events dictate policy. I don't want to see it. I dread it. But I must, in a predictive way, suggest that there will be other Columbines, and some things worse than Columbine. There have been a number of near massacres in America's public schools that have been avoided by a hair's breadth, by good police work and simply good fortune, in which the perpetrators were heavily involved in these types of games, also getting information off the internet on how to blow up schools. There is, while we are concerned about terrorists abroad and what state-funded terrorism can do to our nation and the dislocations that occur. We're literally home-growing terrorists among our indigenous population to do the things that Al-Qaeda did on September 11th.
Sounds to me like we're actually funding it with our tax
money. Yeah, we are. We are. And, in fact, I was on ABC World News Tonight, I think in November of 2002, after Muhammad and Malvo were caught. And if you'll recall, the DOD was brought in to help locate who the snipers, or locate them after a shooting with the helicopters and satellites and so forth. And I said to Peter Jennings, you know, while the DOD was trying to catch Muhammad and Malvo, we were actually training their replacements. And indeed, let me give you another story if we're not about to go into a break.
No, we got plenty of time.
Okay.
You leave me. I'll let you know. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. I didn't want to step on any toes there, but people will recall in the not too distant past the apprehension of Mr. McCoy, I forget his first name, who was allegedly the serial shooter in the Columbus area, who shot at, I think, something like 15 cars, killing early on a lady by the name of Gail Nicely. I was some would say obsessively concerned about this issue that I did a study of what video game arcades were in the Columbus area in the vicinity of where these shootings occurred, and also the nature of those shootings indicated a video gamer. And in fact, I was on Fox News on Thanksgiving weekend explaining that in Knoxville, Tennessee, I represented and still represent victims of two boys who were playing Grand Theft Auto 3, went near into a wooded area in Interstate 40 and started shooting at cars. The police concluded, because they were bored and wanted to replicate in reality what they were doing in a virtual setting, playing the game, shooting at cars. So I said on Fox that I believed that this serial shooter in Columbus was probably a video gamer, and then off the air, later studying the video arcade availabilities in Columbus, I found that there was a GameWorks in the Easton Mall in the vicinity of these shootings, created in part by Steven Spielberg of Hollywood, which featured a game called Silent Scope, in which you literally hold a simulated rifle and shoot at cars and civilians from highway overpasses. So I wrote the sheriff in Columbus and I said, I would beg you to go to that arcade, ascertain whether or not anyone suspicious is going to that arcade and possibly training on this game, which is so effective that actually police departments use it to train their sniper personnel. Sure enough, and they ignored me, of course. And then, sure enough, the day that he was apprehended, USA Today reported that his mother last saw him when he left home to go to the GameWorks arcade in the Easton Mall on the southeast side of Columbus. And it turns out he was a frequenter of that facility, played the shooter games, and when the sheriff's authorities got a search warrant to go through his home, they hauled pounds and pounds of shooter games, video games, out of his apartment on which he had trained. So here we have the two worst serial sniping incidents in history, the Beltway sniper and the Columbus serial sniper, both of whom were trained on video games. In both instances, the law enforcement personnel were warned that this was a likely component of the training. Chief Moose in Montgomery County, who is one of the worst law enforcement officials I've ever had to witness.
Why don't you just come out and say what you think?
Well, he's terrible.
I know. I know,
on the very show that I was on the Today Show, he was on 2 minutes earlier, and here I am suggesting, I think plausibly, that there was a video game component of it. He ignored it. His task force ignored 30-some emails and letters I sent them, and yet if they had acted on the information, they could have done an analysis of Army bases and personnel who had been there that had used video games to train snipers, and if they had done that, they would have found Muhammad possibly weeks earlier.
Well, I think that so many people find it so difficult to believe that these foolish games could have an impact. And yet, of course, you see this, you begin to realize how you interact with that, and it becomes part of you. And no longer is your inhibition, your desire not to shoot. You know, I think one of the things that Grossman is, Lieutenant Colonel Grossman has pointed out, is that there is a natural tendency not to want to shoot. In fact, during the Civil War, most people never fired their rifles. They didn't want to kill anybody else.
Yes, they found soldiers... very compelling argument and factual presentation. They found soldiers dead on the battlefields of Antietam and Gettysburg with 8 or 9 loads in their front-loaded muzzle guns unfired. Why? Because soldiers putting loads into the muzzle and pretended to fire because they wanted their comrades in arms to think they were shooting and killing, but because of the inhibition to kill that God has given us, thank goodness, they were unwilling to kill, and even in the face of hostile fire were unwilling to pull the trigger. So to kill is a learned skill.
And that's what we do with our boys when we send them in the military. We train them to kill, and you know, my goodness, you get into a fighter plane, you can just sprout out that machine gun, you can just kill all those people on the ground, isn't that wonderful? And you really don't care about it.
And at least, though, that training... as regrettable as it is, and it's one of the tragedies that people have to be trained to kill in order to protect our freedoms, in my opinion, you at least do it in a controlled military ethics, and I don't think that's necessarily an oxymoron, but you do it in a controlled and purposeful setting, whereas kids are being allowed, because it's a convenient babysitting tool and a cheap one, to play. And I've come across instances of this, video games sometimes 12 hours a day. In fact, some kids are so obsessively into playing these killing games that they were actually urinate into a cup in their room so that they don't have to leave to break the game, the play of the game. And indeed, the games are actually, and we said this on 60 Minutes, and 60 Minutes verified that it was true, and so they allowed this statement to air. The video game industry actually has what they call teen testers that are hooked up to polygraph devices that measure their respiration, their heart rate, and the sweat on their fingertips, as a polygraph does. When they show them certain killing scenarios in the games, and the games scenarios that get the greatest visceral physiological response are the ones that are put in the game, and therefore... the games are literally designed to be physiologically addictive, and the ones that most elevate the heart rate and respiration are the ones that release the chemicals in the body, the endorphins and other things that give the child a high, that make him want to play more and to play more and more violent games. So you literally have an addictive killing simulator designed to be that, which explained why kids can play them 10, 12 hours at a time and not want to do anything else.
Well, I think it's a frightening thing, and I think it's frightening to think of what we're doing to our children, and these are the people who are going to lead the next generation. I sometimes wonder, and I hear people talk, and people are unconcerned about wars, and they think war is sort of a fun thing. It's like it's a game, and it isn't a game at all. It brings out certainly the very worst in people, occasionally the best in people, but it's certainly nothing that we should do unless we absolutely have to defend our country. But to use those same techniques on our children and our grandchildren is unconscionable, and I do hope that you can get a case through, and I hope that you'll find a judge, and that you can bring these people within the industry who are doing this to before the bar of justice, because I think it's unconscionable, and I think any jury would realize that it's unconscionable.
Well, I think you're right, and I think if a judge... and unfortunately, judges, lawyers are to the left of normal people, and judges are to the left of lawyers in their view of the Constitution. But if we got the right judge, whoever let a jury of normal people, average citizens, see what's in these games, the game would be over, literally, for the industry. And that's what we're hoping for. That's what I'm praying for. Not that money come my way. I've handled these cases for free. My desire is that we have no more Columbines, that my own 11-year-old son be safer than he is now, being in a school, and it's a private school in which most of his classmates actually play these games, so even their parents don't get it. I want this to be a safer world than it is, and if it is to be, then we need to do something about murder simulators that train kids to kill.
All right, well, thank you so much. I will call you off air because I want to get you on all of our other programs. I think your message is an important one. God bless you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Our guest has been Mr. Jack Thompson, and his website is stopkill.com. Go there, get the information, and then help us get it out across America. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention that we also carry something called Phenopoly. And Phenopoly is a program designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Phonics is the key to proper spelling and proper reading, and it is not being taught in our schools intentionally because they want to dumb down your children. You say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, because if you are intending to have an authoritarian society with everybody under surveillance and being watched, why, you don't want very smart people. You certainly don't want people who understand anything about our Constitution, about these ideas of liberty, which is limitation of the powers of government. People might obviously ask, why, of course, are people in government could be so stupid as to allow the terrorists to be working here in this country, especially some of them being subsidized by our good friends the Saudis and the Saudi government, and why the president would censor 28 pages of the report from the Joint Select Committee on Intelligence, the first investigation. Well, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they've deliberately dumbed down our people. They do not understand, and reading is the key. If we're ever going to take America back, we've got to have people who can read well, who can think independently, who know the history of our country, and the key is reading. And that's what Phenopoly is all about. Phenopoly is a board game. It's played very similar to Monopoly, and in 16 hours you can change the life of a child or a grandchild, or yourself, for that matter. So if you'd like to get this program, most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This one is $139.95 plus shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ask about Phenopoly. You get one of these programs, I'm sure you won't be sorry at all. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio and shortwave and satellite and by Internet, reaching people really all around the world with an understanding of the true spiritual nature of what's going on, because they are intentionally creating harm in our children's minds. They're intentionally drugging our children. They're intentionally dumbing down our children. And, well, people must understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought for the souls of our children, that they have actually taken God out of our schools and introduced this concept of evolution to destroy their faith, to turn them against their fathers and what they learn in church. They know exactly what they're doing. And you have to help us to get the truth out. We have all sorts of books on the original intent, on abandonment theology. We have a four-tape set on the faith of our founding fathers. All of these are important to teach children about the Christian history of America, that we were a Christian nation until 50 years ago when everybody in the world knew that. And how did then we lose the Christian foundation? Well, you have to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it to find out that there are 2 million Americans who belong to a secret society, and that members of that secret society swear terrible oaths to have their tongue ripped out and their heart cut out of their chest and their entrails torn out of their body and burned and fed to the birds. And that's just in the first 3 levels of this secret society. And that secret society took over control of our Supreme Court, and they controlled it from 1941 to 1971 and began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and take away from local communities the ability to regulate pornography and all the other terribly harmful things that are damaging our society. And they took God and prayer out of our schools. And they found that women had a right to kill their unborn children, even when they were partially delivered. And all of this, of course, goes back to this occult organization and the other occult organizations out there. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. And understand there really are not one but many secret societies operating within America today. If you'd like to get the Brotherhood of Darkness book, and we just got a great shipment of them in, they are readily available now, and if you want to get them in bulk, you can get them at a reduced price. Circulate this book. If there's one book that will touch people's heart and change their lives, I believe it is Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book by itself for $12.95 plus shipping, or you can get it along with the video and the audio tape for $29.95. Get the information and help us reach America while we still can. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. And then, if you still have time, you can listen to the archive programs, because all of our programs, at least the last 3 hours every day, are archived there. Tell others about our program. Explain to them what they're doing to our children with these video games. Explain to them. Because if we don't take America back, if there's not a revival in this country, if the people don't turn back to God, I believe God's wrath is going to come on this nation. And so pray for America.